This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila.
We're Spy Fat Chicks. This is our second episode. It's going to be about breakfast and some of the differences between Canadian and American breakfast culture. We're going to review two restaurants. One is an old favorite. One is kind of a new favorite we found recently in the town we're living in. The first restaurant is Hill's Maple Leaf Family Restaurant. It's located in Orillia, Ontario on Memorial Avenue, and it's been around since 1926.
1926.
I thought it was
28.
1926.
Okay, I'm wrong. But it's been around for a long time. So, and she's laughing at me because I'm never wrong about numbers, but sometimes I am, apparently.
Only today.
Yes. So, it's definitely an Orillia institution. We just went there this past Mother's Day. It was just me and Sheila, no mothers, just the two of us.
Our mothers are too far away to bring.
Yeah, two non-mother people went out to eat. And it's definitely a greasy spoon. It is not an adventurous place. It's on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is a pizza, and 5 is scary ethnic food with tentacles and bugs and eyeballs. This is definitely a 1. So first impressions when you walk into the place, what did you think?
I thought, wow, this place is busy. It must be really, really good. There was a little bit of a wait to get a seat. There was a little bit of wait for our food, but it wasn't because of wait staff. It was just because they're constantly at 100% capacity, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. You had people walking in and grabbing seats before they even really cleared the tables off. They were just that jamming. And yeah, it was Mother's Day. It was a Sunday, but I have been in there before, and it was almost the same thing. It's just a constant, steady flow of customers, which is a good sign for a restaurant, especially a greasy spoon restaurant.
Exactly. I mean, you want to go to the place that has the lineup. You don't want to go to the place where it's dead because nobody wants to eat there.
Or it's dead because, like, Harry Helga works in the back, and she's constantly, like, scratching her head over the food and shaving her legs over the soup and stuff. You know, those places usually you don't have a long wait because nobody eats there. So the first impressions is it was very busy. It's not really big on decoration. It was actually kind of a plain place. You walk in, you got your register to the side, you got the kitchen there. You have a little display case for the desserts right ahead of you, which makes me happy. I like to see desserts on display at diner-type establishments.
The rotating pies.
Oh, and this is also a place, and you pull in, you park on the side. They do have their own parking lot. You go into the side door. So the restrooms are right there as soon as you go in, so you're not hunting high and low to find the restrooms. You seat yourself. They just kind of tell you, go find a seat. We'll get to you in a minute.
The menus feature old photos of when the place was first opened. There's some historic photos from the 1920s of family members posing in front of the building.
Yeah, so it's definitely got a history there, and it's definitely a no-nonsense kind of place. They do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They do have breakfast specials every day. They'd rotate the breakfast specials, but what the breakfast special is going to be is pretty much listed at the top amongst what they're going to choose. So we were there. They had a bacon, egg, and hash brown toast special for $5.75.
That's what we got.
It was delicious.
Very. The portions were not humongous. They were just enough that you'd be filled, but not overfilled and not feel like you're wasting food and not have to bring anything home. They give you just enough.
Which I think we can come up with a new 1 to 5 scale for that. Well, where 1 to 5, 1 would be a skinny model who hardly eats, 3 would be a normal person that they would be full by eating all of this, and 5 would be our friend, Aaron, who can eat 2 to 3 of everything. I would say this place is a solid 3 on the portion size. Aaron would probably order dessert or have a snack later, but a normal person...
Add a side of meat to it or something.
Or 2 sides of meat. He likes meat. But the normal person will definitely be more than pleased with what they get. We had the bacon. It was delicious. It was crispy.
It was delicious crispy bacon.
Delicious crispy bacon for anybody who plays Lord of the Rings online. The eggs were very well done.
They was done exactly the way you asked. Sometimes when you ask for over easy eggs, it's like you want to have something to dip the toast in, but you don't want the clear snot on top because that's sunny side up. This was perfectly done. There was lots of runny stuff in the middle. The yolk wasn't like cooked and all hard. The white wasn't all raw and snotty. It was exactly over easy the way I asked for it.
And it always annoys me when I go to a breakfast place when you ask for over easy and you get your eggs and you can pretty much pop the yolk out like a little hockey puck. It's like that defeats the purpose. If I wanted that, I just would have said, you know, scramble it. over hard.
Right.
Or they do the sunny side up and then they flop it over onto the plate so you can't see the clear snot until you start cutting into it and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, the warm plate should not be the cooking part of the over easy, you know?
Exactly.
So, I would definitely give it 2 thumbs up, Sheila.
I definitely would give it as well 2 thumbs up.
So we've got 4 thumbs up for the place. I have had the burgers there. It was delicious. Good meat, good portions, handmade patties, not like a frozen hockey puck patty. Hockey puck's the word for the episode, I think.
Hockey puck
eggs, hockey puck patties, but very, very good burgers. Would recommend that as well. Have not tried the dessert yet. I'm sure we will when we do. We'll report back. So, definitely into the place. Now, we don't really have a lot to say about it because we've only been there once or twice. The next place we're going to talk about, we've got a lot to say about it. This is one of Sheila's favorite places to eat in Oshawa for breakfast.
I've been going there probably since around 1998, 2000, around that area. It's called the Rainbow Family Restaurant. It's on 82 Simcoe Street North in Oshawa, and it's been around since 1958. And when you walk in, it's like wood panel, like kind of like a 1950s den kind of thing. It's got a breakfast counter where if you're just sitting by yourself, you can just sit there. And it's kind of a, whenever you walk in, they always say, sit wherever you're comfortable. They don't have assigned seating. They just tell you to sit wherever you like. And I always love that they say, sit wherever you're comfortable. Because if you feel like a booth, you can sit in a booth. If you want to sit in a chair, you can sit in a chair. Whatever you want.
In the place, it's old school. It's not very big, but it is old school. You walk in, you've got the decorations on the wall. It explains the history of the restaurant. Everybody who's eaten there, anybody the owner's ever met. There's autographs on the wall from various famous people. Like the one that was over us the last time we went was the Riddler from Batman.
From the TV show from the 1960s.
Yeah, I mean, that was an autograph from him. So it's definitely got an old school place. They're not just putting stuff on the walls to put things on the walls. Everything's kind of there for a reason.
Exactly.
And something that I adored this last time we went, we sat in the downstairs area. Because there's the front when you walk in where the breakfast bar is, and you can go up a couple stairs to the back part of the restaurant. We sat up front, and we sat right across from the breakfast bar, and I was facing the breakfast bar. And behind it, it's very old school soda fountain style.
Yeah.
They've got the stainless steel up behind it. They have the soda fountain glasses stacked up. They don't have like the true old school soda fountain where you've got the soda water and the syrup you add, but soda dispenser.
Probably set up there at one point in time.
Exactly.
Originally.
And the soda dispenser that they do have is definitely a classic. That is not a new modern one. It was very shiny, very metallic.
There's chrome everywhere.
It is chrome. The future is chrome, and the rainbow is the future in a very retro kind of way. And they have a regular milkshake machine, the type of the little spinny bits at the end that taunted me the entire time we ate. I had to give in and get a milkshake. So it's got a good, homey, greasy spoon feel to it. So we're going to discuss the breakfast, because that's what we get most of the time.
Yeah, well, first of all, there is definitely some sort of weird algorithm that you don't get in most places where you get a huge amount of food for a tiny little price at the Rainbow. I'm not sure exactly how they pull it off, but that's what they've been famous for always.
You're getting black market chicken eggs. I don't know.
I don't know, but they have a line on something because they give you a lot of food for a very small price.
GMC's what, $3.99?
Yeah, the GMC breakfast is $3.99, and you get 3 eggs, breakfast meat, a crap pile of hash browns, and toast. And it also comes with your choice of tea or coffee. So for $4, you're set up fine. And portions are very, very generous, definitely. There's the other one, which is the Lumberjack breakfast that has like pancakes and all kinds of other starchy, wonderful things on it.
Oh, the Lumberjack breakfast is, I think, 2 eggs, 3 sausage links, 3 pieces of bacon, and 3 pieces of ham.
Yeah.
It's meat heavy. It's definitely a hearty breakfast. And I could, and pancakes thrown into it too, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could finish it unless I was having one of my I think I can eat the world days. Which I do get those periodically, and I forget that I'm not 13 anymore, but I think I'm going to give it a shot at some point, see if I can conquer the Lumberjack. So the place is very affordable for breakfast, very easy on the pocketbook. We didn't mention the prices at Hill's either. It was $5.75 for the breakfast special we had.
Yeah.
We got out of the place for right around $12. Very reasonable for breakfast for two in Canada. So back to the Rainbow. There's a ton of other stuff on the breakfast menu, and we have to talk about pea-mail bacon at this point.
Oh, yes, pea-mail bacon. So pea-mail bacon is what Americans always refer to as Canadian bacon or back bacon. And what it is it's almost like...
Oh, I know the official definition because I looked it up when we tried to do this podcast the first time. It is a back loin bacon that is not smoke cured. It is brine cured, and it's rolled in crushed yellow peas, which is where you get the pea mill name for it, pea mill bacon. So it is usually sliced kind of like a thin pork chop.
Or if you're at the Rainbow, it's sliced like a thick pork chop.
God, yes.
So pea mill bacon is delicious, and it's all over the place up here. It's also known as Irish loin bacon. We went to an Irish tea house down south. That's totally another episode, but I have to mention they had Irish bacon on the menu, and it tasted exactly like pea mill bacon. But I digress.
It was delicious.
Because it's got that sweet and tangy, the sweetness from the pork and then the tanginess from the brine. That's just perfect.
It's a lot like ham, but a pork chop. Because you get the saltiness like you would from eating a good piece of ham, mm-hmm. but you get the texture of regular pork meat, not the ham texture with it. It's something that I never had, really, that I can recall. I'm sure if my parents listen to this, they'll say, you had that when you were 8 or something. But I never had it until I met Sheila, and I fell in love with it. It's delicious. Now, the Rainbow has redefined the portion sizes for this. The first time I had it, Sheila takes me there. First time this was right after we got married. We went up to visit her family. We went out to breakfast. She said, you've never had pea mill bacon. Let's order some. So we ordered our regular GMC breakfasts, and then we got a side of pea mill bacon. A side is 6 ounces of pea mill bacon. Normal people don't need 6 ounces of breakfast meat, but apparently the Rainbow thinks that normal people do need this. So our breakfasts come out in their normal platter-sized dishes, and then they come around the corner with what looks like a platter of pork chops for us. There were 4 slices of female bacon on this platter, and we polished off our breakfast. I think we split one slab of female.
Yeah, it's sliced about an inch thick.
Yeah.
It's, like, huge.
And it was only, like, $5 for the side of the female bacon, which is really good.
Yeah, because remember, what you get. You were thinking, this better be really good for $5 for a side. And then out comes the almost half a pound of pork. You're like, oh.
If you get, now, the GMC breakfast is either bacon, sausage, or ham. If you get the pea mill breakfast, which is 3 eggs, toast, hash browns, and pea mill bacon, you get half a pound of pea mill bacon on it.
Yeah, and I believe that's $7.75.
Yeah, it's
around
just,
$8.
It's just under $8, I think. And it's totally worth it for what you get. Like, we took Sheila's mom there a couple weeks ago, and she ended up taking half her bacon home and had pea mill bacon sandwiches, which is another thing you can get all over Canada, which is fantastic.
Yes.
So if you've never had it before, you're coming up to north to visit, definitely stop at a breakfast place and get like a pea mill bacon sandwich or get a side of it with your meal. It's totally worth it 100%. If you really like it, you can take some back with you, because all the butchers around here sell it, all the grocery stores sell it.
Yep.
And you can take pork over the border. I think the only thing you can't take was, what, goat?
Yeah, for some reason you can't take goat or oxtail.
Yeah, but you can take pork and all other kinds of tasty animals that we have up here. So the breakfast, 100% behind it. Go to the Rainbow, eat the breakfast. Now, we finally rectified a sad situation this past weekend.
We actually had never had lunch at the Rainbow. I had never ordered anything there. In going there in almost 10 years, I'd never ordered anything but breakfast. So we decided when we went down this weekend that we were going to get some lunch, and we both got the hot roast beef sandwich.
Oh, it was divine. I grew up eating a lot of hot roast beef sandwiches. My mom, whenever she'd make a beef roast, if she had a good amount of leftovers, she'd slice it thin, we'd throw it on a piece of bread, put a little gravy on it, throw another piece of bread on it, more gravy, fries, and more gravy. You'd have this nice pile of gravy and food. And I was kind of a macaroni and cheese kid, but usually if I wanted something out and I couldn't find anything on the menu, because I wasn't a picky eater, but I had my quirks, I could always find a hot roast beef sandwich where I grew up there. Somebody always had it on the menu. So I figure that's a safe thing to get at a restaurant. If you can screw up a hot roast beef sandwich, I'm afraid of you. I'm actually going to start looking for your health license in the restaurant, whether or not you've passed your food safety inspection, because that scares me if you can screw that up. But the Rainbow can do it in spades. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was, how much shaved meat was on there?
The whole sandwich was supposed to be a pound. I don't know if that included the potatoes or not, but you got a healthy serving of fries on the side.
You could get fries or mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and they make their own garlic mashed potatoes. They're fresh. It's not something from a box. You had 2 slices of bread, and then you had
Beef gravy,
and just probably almost 2 inches of shaved roast beef. And this was good shaved roast beef.
It was like prime rib.
This wasn't like Arby's roast beef. This was, you could tell that it had been made off of roast and then they shaved it in the back.
Yeah.
Smothered in enough gravy to drown the sandwich, and if you wanted to dip your fries in it, you could.
You can get gravy on the fries if you really want.
Which I did because I like gravy on the fries. Sheila opted for ketchup on her fries because she's a heretic like that when it comes to hot roast beef sandwiches. She puts ketchup on her pot pies, for the love of God.
Keep it up. You're going to have all of Canada at your door for your ketchup-hating ways.
I love ketchup, just not on pot pies and not where there's gravy involved. Those two shouldn't meet. But this was a fantastic sandwich. It was right around $7.99, and it was almost more food than I could eat. This is on the scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is a model and 5 is Aaron. This was definitely a 4.
Yeah.
So Sheila, I don't think, quite finished her fries, and I was too full to even pick at her fries. Though I was sinful, and I ordered dessert.
Because the chrome milkshake machine had been taunting her. I kept thinking she was looking lovingly at me, but no.
No.
She was looking past me to the milkshake machine behind the counter.
They even had the old school milkshake glasses. It was awesome. So I ordered a vanilla milkshake made with real milk and real ice cream. And it was delicious. It wasn't a really thick milkshake. It's not one of those ones where you're sucking your cheek in and just you think you're going to pop a vein before you actually get the milkshake out of the glass. You had a taste of it. What'd you think?
It was really good. It was not like super vanilla-y, but there was a lot of vanilla in there. And you're right, the consistency was just right.
Yeah.
It was firm enough that it wasn't watery, but it wasn't so thick that you were popping out an eyeball trying to suck it in.
Thinner than a Mr. Burger milkshake, which is another place we're going to talk about, but definitely thicker than some of the fast food places I've had. It blows away any fast food milkshake, really, because it's made with real ingredients, and that makes a huge difference.
I'm
a bit of a milkshake snob, if you can't tell. So we recommend going for lunch or dinner as well to the Rainbow. It's a little bit more expensive than breakfast, but that's like that any place you go to.
Yeah, generally. And let's see, we also wanted to talk a little bit about differences between American breakfast and Canadian breakfast. It seems like Canadian breakfast is available all day, and Canadians love breakfast. I don't know what the deal is, but no matter how small your town is, you're going to be able to find a place that not only has breakfast, but generally includes coffee or tea with the breakfast.
And the differences that I've noticed is, well, one of the things we've said about 5 years ago, we realized that if you want good breakfast anywhere, you're going to find it in Canada. If you want a good sandwich anywhere, guaranteed you'll be able to find that anywhere in the States. But we don't do the breakfast thing as much. We have breakfast places. Not going to lie, they're all over the place. But you sometimes run into they're not all day, or they're just kind of meh. I mean, really, to me, the pinnacle breakfast for a standard breakfast used to be Eaton Park. And I hate to say it, the places up here blow Eaton Park out of the water just for a regular breakfast smile kind of breakfast.
I think it's because there's more mom-and-pop places that do breakfast.
Yeah.
Whereas in the States, you're never going to find a restaurant that doesn't have a sandwich board. Here, you're never going to really find very many little mom-and-pop places that don't serve breakfast.
And don't do all-day breakfast.
And don't do all-day breakfast.
Yeah. And in the States, when you order breakfast, you don't usually get coffee or tea with it. If it's
you kind of got to order that separate. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's the special, you may get it. But you walk into a place like Eaton Park or something, and you order your breakfast and don't get a drink, order a drink separate, you're not getting anything to drink.
Right.
So that's another thing that struck me is different, because Canadians, well, they love coffee. The whole country is fueled by caffeine, I've noticed. It's fantastic. I love it. We're going to do a whole episode on coffee later on, but it's definitely an important part of breakfast, and by God, you're going to get your caffeine one way or another when you have breakfast. So.
Right. I mean, and looking at the alternate dimension thing that we've mentioned before in the first podcast, you're not going to really find biscuits up here. You're definitely not going to find grits.
Oh, no. Not unless you're going to make them from Instant, maybe, if you can find it.
But maybe. Or hominy.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not a regional thing that we have here. It's just not part of our local food, so it's not part of our local diet.
KFC doesn't always serve biscuits on the side. McDonald's doesn't always have a sausage biscuit, which made me a very, very sad Tracy when we moved here. I'm not a big McDonald's fan, but I like a good greasy sausage biscuit from McDonald's.
Here you find more English muffins.
Mm-hmm.
There are people mostly serve biscuits with, like, dinner sometimes.
Well, tea biscuits, which aren't the same as a southern biscuit. They're drier.
No.
They're good, love them, but they're not quite the same as a good Southern recipe biscuit. So I do miss that. That's another difference you'll see in the breakfast culture. You're not going to get biscuits with sausage gravy, which once you hit South Pennsylvania is all over the place. Even the fast food restaurants have it.
Right.
But I guess another thing is not a lot of people really go to McDonald's for breakfast. When you have all these good mom and pop places all over the place that serve food fast and cheap, why would you go to McDonald's and pay almost as much for food that's not quite as good?
Right.
So, and that's no slam on McDonald's. I don't want to get hate mail from people who work at McDonald's, but quite honestly, McDonald's can't stand up to a mom-and-pop breakfast place that's been doing it for 50 years or 75 years.
Right.
So, you know your market. Their market's the locals or tourists like us. We're eternal tourists, even if we live there. So what else did we want to hit on this? Did we talk about where we got our name from?
I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
We should talk about why we decided to call this Zwei Fat Chicks. And the reason is, we were originally going to call it Two Fat Chicks because of Jennifer and Clarissa, the two fat ladies. This, if you haven't checked it out, you need to look at it. You can get the entire series on DVD.
You can Netflix it.
You can Netflix it.
If you're a Netflix
it.
Person. Mm-hmm. I think the Blockbuster Online service has it.
Yeah. It was a BBC cooking show that had these two fat ladies that would drive around Britain on a motorcycle with a sidecar, and they would cook different dishes for different people. Like one episode they were cooking for a cricket team, one episode they were cooking for some nuns in Ireland.
Oh, the nuns were awesome. They made lobster for the nuns. It was great. But their food was a very home-style cooked food.
Very and hearty.
Don't mistake it for being simple food at all. This was sophisticated food. These were not simple meat and potato flavors. But it was very hearty, very English, and very bad for you most of the time.
Because that means if you're cooking home-style English, you're using a lot of butter, you're using a lot of cream. Bacon fat, drippings, things like that.
Exactly. You're going to use a lot of meat in it. But it was all very well done. And there's a couple recipes we've pulled off the show that we still want to try. I want to try that one from the camping episode where you hollow up a loaf of bread and you cram the meat in the bread and let it sit.
Oh, yeah, and press the bread. It's almost like it's a backpacker's panini or something.
Yeah.
Where, like, the juices from the roast soak into the loaf of bread, and then you slice it into individual, like, sandwich portion sizes.
Because of the gravity of having it pressed, it makes it into a nice compact slice that just sounds perfect for lunch if you're out picnicking or something. So we adore the show. We adore the ladies. They have style that I don't know if we'll ever have in our lifetimes, but we really admire what they did. So we thought, let's pay a little tribute to them, and let's do the show kind of named after them. So, Clarissa and Jennifer, you're awesome. You'll probably never ever hear this, but, well, one of you definitely won't. But you're still fantastic, and we definitely salute you.
Well, we tried to do Two Fat Chicks, and when I plugged that into Google, I got the naughty websites.
Very naughty.
So Tracy said, well, try Zwei Fat Chicks, which is German for two. So that's why we are the Zwei Fat Chicks.
Because it worked out that there are no porn sites yet named for Zwei Fat Chicks. Hopefully that doesn't happen after we've said that. But at least we've got the Podbean location locked down, so we're good to go there. So, and it actually, the German has no relation to either one of us very much. I speak a little bit of German. It just popped in my head, and we thought we'd try it and go for it. So we still welcome any feedback at all. We can be reached at our email address. It'll be at the end of the podcast. We can be reached on MySpace. We can be reached on Facebook. You can Twitter us. Please, write us. We're lonely. Give us comments, give us compliments, give us insults, give us requests, suggestions. If we've made a mistake on something, you know, let us know, hey, you screwed up. This is what it really is. We're more than happy to take the feedback. Just, we're really lonely. So, do you have anything else to add this episode?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, we've got enough material from just kind of riffing back and forth between the two of us for a good half year worth of episodes. I'm sure between now and then we're going to come up with even more, so...
Oh, and we're also on iTunes.
Well, not yet.
Soon to be.
We're waiting for them to say yes, we'll permit your cute little podcast to be on iTunes. They just want to make sure we're not too filthy. Oh, and the noise. We're actually podcasting today from down on the shore of Kuchiching Lake?
Lake Kuchiching.
Ah.
And we're at Moose Beach.
We're just off the shore at a picnic table. I mean, Sheila's probably 6 feet from the water right now. There's a trail behind us with scooters and bicycles.
Rollerbladers.
People with doggies.
People walking dogs.
So it's got a little bit of background noise, but it's just too nice of a day right now to be inside. So, well, that's about it. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila for Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for tuning in.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can email us at zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchics@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod, and we hope that you have a great day.